Good morning, good morning. This is Dave Mazza.
And I'm Joanne Bowman.
And you're listening to Voices from the Edge. And I'm losing my voice here. I am on the edge. Well, this morning we have an interesting show for you. You know, theater's always been a sort of mirror for folks to be able to reflect on things that would be too difficult to stare at in the stark reality of. And we're going to talk about a production that's coming up, opening up next week at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, that takes this a step further in terms of linking theater with a healing process. And so this morning we have quite a group here. They're members of Pass and Art, the production company that's putting on A Sunbeam, which is a play by John Henry Redwood. And we also have a member of the Avell Gordley Healing Center to talk about what the play is about, what these talkback sessions are going to be about, and just also the role of theater in how we address these sorts of problems that we face every day. And we got a roll call going here. So first of all, we have Trish Egan, who is the director at Pass and Art of this production. We also have Kenneth Dembo, who plays the role of Saul in A Sunbeam. We have Jerry Foster, who's the artistic director at Pass and Art. And we have Danette C. Birchall, who is the clinical associate director of the Avell Gordley Center for Healing. And we want to thank you all for being here this morning.
Good to be here.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
And as always, we want you to join us in the conversation by giving us a call at 503-231-8187. Well, probably to put this in some sort of framework for our listeners, why don't we start, Trish, with maybe giving us just a quick thumbnail sketch of what the play is about.
Well, we have a family of three, a husband, wife, and son. The parents of the family are having some difficulties in their relationship and in lots of ways as regards their relationship with the son. Mm-hmm. And the ways that they do or don't deal with those issues and try and find ways to come to some sort of better conclusion about how they all interact is really the basis of the play.
And let's kind of move over then to Danette, and if you would talk a little bit about how Avell Gordley Healing Center fits into this picture. You folks are not normally going up on stage.
Absolutely. The Avell Gordley Center for Healing is a multicultural adult outpatient mental health and addictions treatment facility center. And the play in particular is representing an African-American family. Mm-hmm. And along with our multicultural focus, we specifically have services for African and African-American clients as a sub-program of the whole. And within that program, we have five African-American licensed mental health practitioners, including our psychiatrist, which is our medical director, Dr. Norwood Knight Richardson. Dr. Garfield DeBartoleben is our clinical psychologist, and then myself, I am an African-American licensed clinical social worker, and also Carol Chisholm and Andre Pruitt are also African-American licensed clinical social workers, and we are available for individual, couple, family, and group therapy at the center, and we, in pairs of us, will be facilitating talkbacks after the play to address issues of mental health and mental wellness in the African American community.
And so it's a big deal that we actually have the Avell Gordley Center for Healing in downtown Portland. It's only been in operation for a little over a year, is that right?
That's right.
And it was huge because, of course, we had lost most culturally specific mental health services through all the state budget cutbacks. Mm-hmm. And so, and I love the fact that it's named after the first African American woman in the legislative body. And so, can you tell us a little bit about the history, like why the center exists and the significance of it being downtown, and just a little bit more? Because I don't think that the listening audience may know enough about where it is and why it is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Joanne. Thank you. The Avell Gordley Center for Healing was a project by Senator Avell Gordley, Senator Margaret Carter, and the African American Mental Health Commission that's been worked on for a number of years, 8 or 9 years in the making, until they actually secured funding to begin the Center for Culturally Specific Services for African and African American members of the community, mostly in the Portland metropolitan area, but of course we could serve people statewide if they had access to the facility. And the reason that this is such a critical component, and we are not the only culturally specific providers in the Portland metropolitan area. I want to acknowledge LifeWorks Northwest and Cascadia, Central City Concern. There are other culturally specific African American programs in the region, and the Intercultural Psychiatric Program also serves African clients, and that's part of OHSU. And we are a part of OHSU, by the way. We are in the Department of Psychiatry at OHSU. And so, but this project was so fundamental because what we have found that in the African American community, we are underrepresented in involuntary mental health and addiction services, whereas we are overrepresented in involuntary or mandated services through the criminal justice system or through DHS. And so we are trying to afford an opportunity for African and African Americans to seek services from providers that look like them, which is a huge issue for our community because of the historical implications of us being in the country with slavery and racism, and how the medical establishment has traditionally treated African Americans with bias, and there's a lack of trust. And in our culture, putting your business in the street is not an acceptable thing to do, and people become very afraid for their confidentiality. And there is also a lot of stigma around mental health and mental illness, to the point where a person may only seek services if they're being considered crazy. And we're trying to reduce that stigma and let people know that there are many concerns that they might be experiencing that would benefit from mental health treatment, and that you don't have to be crazy. And you're not crazy for wanting to seek some help for depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, and other concerns such as substance abuse, and even we also offer gambling treatment. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of information regarding
and the location.
History. The location. We are located at 621 Southwest Alder in Suite 520. And the choice of the location, it's a very strategic choice. There were questions about why isn't it located in North Portland or Northeast Portland? Well, the African American community has been dispersed.
That's right.
And is no longer fully centralized to North and Northeast Portland. There's also an additional element of confidentiality. The building we're located in is downtown. It's in a 9-story building. There's no reception in the front lobby. Mm-hmm. There's not a reception until you actually come to the 5th floor. So when you enter the building, nobody knows what you're entering the building for.
Right.
It's also conveniently located on bus lines and MAX lines for people in the community that are living out east in Gresham and Troutdale, or out west in Beaverton, out to Hillsborough. It's a centralized location where people can come for to a building that's very nondescript and non-threatening. So that's part of the choice of the location. Also, the services were added to an existing clinic of OHSU, formerly known as the Behavioral Health Clinic. And this clinic has a long-standing history as being one of the oldest alcohol and drug programs on the West Coast, and has been around for many, many years. So it already had infrastructure available and a full staff and programming available prior to the recruitment of African American practitioners to provide this program.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And excuse me again. You're listening to Voices from the Edge. We're talking this morning with members of Passanart, who are putting on a production of A Sunbeam at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, as well as with Dened Burchell of the Avil Gordley Healing Center, or Center for Healing, excuse me. We're talking about this new production, which combines theater with outreach to deal with how to better deal with some of the problems that the play deals with, domestic problems and
family problems,
emotional problems. And, you know, Kenneth, as an actor, what did this facet mean to you, and how did it affect your performance, and how do you feel about just kind of expanding this role of theater in general?
I'm very proud to be able to put this production on and to be a part of it. This is actually a reprieve of a role for me. This is the second time that I'm going to be doing it. So I am just so honored to be able to do this again, and especially in the times that we're kind of living in now with the economic issues that are going on, because this play or this production is going to focus on so many aspects of what's going on right now, because we are setting it in today's time. So not only are they dealing with the mental and the physical issues, but there's an economic issue also. So I think it's really, really timely that we were able to partner with this organization here to bring some of those issues to the forefront.
And whose idea was it to actually partner a service component along with a theater component, right? Because most of the time people go to the theater, they think, okay, entertain me, right? I put down my money, entertain me. But this seems to be like just a incredible brainstorm. So whose idea was it that, you know, this was a good opportunity to really make sure that we were partnering these two efforts so that people knew that there was something that could happen afterwards? Is that the creative director?
No, matter of fact, that's part of our mission, which is to entertain, educate, and inspire artists, and also while addressing the critical issues that are facing our community.
Wonderful.
And one of our values is to provide a forum for artists and community members to connect through the medium of theater as a catalyst for community dialogue regarding those issues that impact not only African-American community, but also multicultural groups. And matter of fact, this is the second collaboration that we've done. We, like Kenneth was saying before, we've done this play before, and one of the biggest issues is, where do people go get the service? That was one of the biggest questions from it. Where do people go to get the service? Who do they talk to? How can they connect with that? And so as we were looking to do this again, and the reason why we're doing this again, because the playwright John Henry Redwood was one of our mentors. He was the one that really got the ball rolling for us, and he passed away, and so we were doing it in memory of him.
Wonderful.
And so when we thought about doing it again, we said, how can we better serve the community? What resources can we pull out? And Connie Carley, who's one of the founding members of Passing Art, got to thinking about it, and she remembered the Avil Gordley Center, and we kind of tossed it back and forth around the boardroom and said, well, you know, let's see how we can make this work.
Well, that explains, I ran into Connie at Costco, and she was like, I'm so glad that you're having Passing Arts on the show. So that's the connection. Okay, I was like, oh, how'd she know that?
Yeah, Connie and I had a great conversation early on in this process about how we felt that there were some issues that could be really beautifully examined about the willingness or the caution with which everybody, but in this particular instance, African Americans are a little bit hesitant to approach mental health services because of the community stigma.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an exciting discussion from the very beginning when we realized that we both felt strongly about the same issue, and that it was a really wonderful opportunity to be able to bring in professionals who could address these issues and to put materials in the lobby at the show and that sort of thing, where we can let people know that there are services available, and they are available in a way that keeps them from feeling like they're being made a spectacle of, and that sort of thing. So we're delighted to be able to make that partnership.
And it goes without saying, I know Senator Avil Gordley has been very consistent in sharing the news about what happened with her son, and the fact that her son was almost killed by Portland police. And just fortunately, Derek Foxworth was at the scene and was able to mitigate what could have been a very, very tragic situation, mm-hmm. and all related back to mental illness and mental health issues, and not being able to get treatment when you needed it from a provider of your choice. And so this is certainly a really profound issue that has so many layers in our community, because of course we end up using the police as the mental health service provider, mm-hmm. I think we can all agree that they are not the best qualified people to be providing mental health services in our community.
Indeed.
Well, you know, you mentioned that Passanart, the Sunbeam, actually fits into sort of the larger mission of Passanart. What other sorts of productions have you done that are related in this way?
Wow, we've done a play that was called... Deceptive Love. Sorry, it's early. It's early.
and we don't provide coffee. I know. We're just.
And one of the things about Deceptive Love is that it talked about the issues of AIDS, which, you know, as in the Black community, is not a subject that we so openly talk about. But we wanted to do that particular play to provide, again, another platform for which to have some discussion, so people can open up about, you know, about those issues. We did a piece called Lullaby, which dealt with mothers not letting go of their sons, even though their sons are grown.
You know?
Or vice versa. Or vice versa, not letting go of their mothers, too, you know.
What happens when they don't leave home, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Well, if mothers weren't like that, sons wouldn't live to be let go of.
We need some counseling here, please.
and so that, again, that kind of shed a light on that particular issue. We did a piece called the Pews, which talked about ministers in the church, and we did get some feedback from that. But it was just to entertain and just to put those issues out there. That's, and it's right. Up to the people to just make a decision on whether they want to discuss that or not. And we did Flying West, which talked about women migrating to the West, which is something that no one really talked about. You know, there are more women that moved that didn't have husbands, who had to pull up together as a family. And they weren't, even though they weren't related in one sense, but that extended family became very strong. We did Voices from the Kitchen, which focused on women who were the silent heroes of the civil rights movement, women that worked in those kitchens that heard what was going on as they was out there serving. You know, so, you know, it just continued to provide in that aspect something for people to talk about and to shed a light on history, too, as we do it. We did Portraits in Black, which we took and we focused on six historical figures, and one was a local historical figure, John H. Jackson, who was a pastor at one time at Mount Olivet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took all of that and invited the public in and put that information out there again so that it can spur some discussion. Mm-hmm. So that's what it's about.
Wow, it sounds like you guys have been doing that for quite a while. And so for a Sunbeam, it starts April 2nd through April 25th. And there's a website, passanart.net, that you can go to and get lots of information. And people can also get tickets at Reflection Coffee and Talking Drum Bookstore. Let's see, and I remember you were telling me just before we went on the air that on April 2nd will be community night.
That is correct.
And community night gives the community, people who normally don't have the opportunity to actually go to see live theater, an opportunity to receive a reduced fee ticket. And so they can go to the website and get more information about that.
They can then go to the website, and they can also call us at 503-321-5163. And basically, just all those tickets will be available at the door.
At the door.
At
okay.
the door. Yes.
Now, and so, did we want to announce that?
Well, we probably should.
Yeah. So we're going to find out how awake our listening audience is this morning, because a Sunbeam production is going to allow us to give away 6 tickets this morning. And Dave and I have to think of like brilliant questions that you have to answer in order to qualify for those free tickets. And those tickets will be able to be used any night other than opening night. All we'll have to do is give your name to the Passing Art company, and they will have those tickets available for you. And there will only be one ticket per person, so please don't assume you're going to call and get all six.
Unless you've got a really smart family that can all call in. You know, one of the things I'm curious about is, and Trish or Jerry, I'd like to hear your take on this, is you're doing theater that's obviously rooted in reaching out to the community, but what challenges is theater facing with all the other noise going on? Because you're competing with television, you're competing with radio.
so sorry.
And, you know, all the variety of other media. And is it making it more difficult to, you know, get the audiences you really want to reach?
Absolutely. There wasn't ever adequate or huge support from the state or from private business concerns and that sort of thing. It's one of the forms of the arts in the country that isn't very well supported in that way. And we depend largely on ticket sales in order to be able to keep the doors open and the actors on the stage. So it's been really important for us to try and find ways to choose productions that inspire our audience members to pass the art along to other people in their family and to friends and coworkers and that sort of thing. And we found in the first production of this show that there were many, many people who came back multiple times and each time bringing a different group of friends and family. And that it is really something that's it's a gift to be able to share with the people that you love. And so we're grateful to have such a strong work to be able to do that with.
And Danette, it sounds like you have a comment you want to make here.
Yes, I just realized that I never gave the phone number scheduling an appointment for the Avail Gordley Center for Healing, which I thought might be really important to get out to everyone. So the way the process works is that if somebody's interested in the services, they do an initial phone call to 503-418-5311. That's 503-418-5311, and they speak with our intake coordinator, who will ask them a series of questions about their concerns, insurance information, or payment information. We do offer some service on a sliding scale fee that goes down to zero, and we accept all commercial insurances, and we can work with most situations. So I just wanted to let people know about how they can access the services in case they're interested.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we did forget that. And we also forgot to tell people they could give us a call at 503. What is the number? 503-231-8187.
Well, if they call us, we have to give them those tickets. And
that's true. Yeah.
Dave, you were hoping to get away with
those.
And
we're trying to hold on to them, right? We're trying to hold on. We got friends that need to see this play. No, just kidding. We would be happy to give it to our listening audience as soon as Dave and I think of some compelling questions to have you answer. And actually, I know exactly what the first question would be.
Go for it, Joanne.
Well, the first question would be, so if you go to see the Sunbeam, what is the service provider that will be in the audience to assist you in actually processing this information at the end of the show?
Ooh.
Tough
checking,
question.
Yeah, checking
tough.
Listening skills.
Ding, 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 ding,
so
ding.
Give us a call on that.
That's right.
To follow up a little bit on what Trish was talking about in terms of, you know, the challenges, was doing this at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center a decision? First of all, I assume you've worked with them before. And secondly, are there particular advantages you see in reaching your mission by going there as opposed to finding a venue downtown?
I think it's the access to the IFCC. Mm-hmm. You know, now they can take Max. Everyone knows where it is.
Right.
So there's some comfortability that's built into that. And we've always used the IFCC for a majority of our projects. And so people know that we're there and know that they can come and see a good show.
Mm-hmm.
As far as with the outreach and the whole bit, you know, the support that we get from the from some of the business people from the business community has been really, really great for us. As well as some audiences. But, you know, it's always a challenge to keep getting people in.
Right.
You know, you have to pound the pavement.
That's right.
And you have to, you know, keep hammering home that this is going on and you really need to come to see. You have to offer some incentives to get them in there.
Right.
So with this economy the way it is, arts organizations all over the country are having some deep, tough issues. you know, and some have even gone under because the, you know, because the funding is not there.
That's right.
Another thing about IFCC, Dave, that I thought was worth mentioning is that they've got a wonderful art gallery as part of the facility.
Right.
And they exhibit all kinds of incredible multicultural artists' work. Mm-hmm. And so it's a there's that tie-in with the community as well. And the more things that they do, and they do have a serious multicultural mission there, so that there's a, it's a wonderful gathering place for people from all different kinds of cultures to meet and compare what their cultures have to offer versus other cultures, and mm-hmm. and to meld that artistic sensitivity right. at the same time. So it's lovely to be able to have a live theater component to that community meeting place as well.
And so I'm curious, does Passing Art have like a season pass? Like, so can you, do you have like a, do you know what you're going to do for the whole season and then you promote it together? Or do you promote just like individual plays as you decide that you're going to produce those?
Well, again, as we get more people into the theater and get more support, then we add on, continue to add shows on to it. We do have our Reader's Theater component that we're working on now that will be something every month, you know, where people can come and still be entertained, because, you know, it's, there's a difference to sit in the audience and hear someone read till you and close your eyes and imagine that you're there, and then seeing it on stage actually unfolding before your eyes.
That's
so
right.
There's the two different dynamics that go along with that.
I asked that because I used to be on the list for Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center and used to be involved in helping with fundraisers and receptions, and it seems like I've been dropped out of the loop.
Well, that's an excellent reason for you to come to the show and sign up for the mailing
list. Because I'm feeling like left out. Like, well, how come I didn't know all this was going on?
Well, you're invited
there?
To the party, so please come.
Excellent.
Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Dave Mazza and Joanne Bowman of Voices from the Edge.
Wasn't seeking an invite, but thank you.
And we're talking this morning with Trish Egan, Kenneth Dembo, and Jerry Foster of Passing Art, who are putting on a production of A Sunbeam at the IFCC. It's a it's a play regarding a family torn apart by problems too big to solve on their own. And we're also speaking with Danette C. Birchall, a clinical associate director of OHSU's Abel Gordley Center for Healing. It's an interesting partnering going on between the two, that the center will be providing, will be there present during talkback sessions following some of the performances to help people think about how they address these issues, as well as give them some reference and resources. So, and that's going to be happening, and the play opens on April 2nd. If you want to join us in this conversation that we've been having, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And also remember that there's a question out there that can you name what service is participating? And I've pretty much given this away already, but what service is participating in this play? The social service is participating in this play. And if so, you could be eligible for a free ticket. We're giving away six free tickets to the performance, courtesy of Passin Art. And by the way, that is PassinArt, if you're trying to get to their website, passinart.com. Kenneth.
Yes.
As an actor, you know, I'm curious, you know, theater, the public school system is gutting the arts, and less kids are having an opportunity to take drama classes. Are you seeing a impact in terms of young people wanting to get involved in theater? Is, you know, are we depleting our next wave of stage actors?
I think it's interesting because when I started in theater many, many moons ago, part of the reason why I started it is because I had went and saw a play in high school.
Uh-huh.
And that relationship, and when I was there watching it, I knew then that's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be on stage. And years ago, when I was doing live theater, you didn't do shows without having that school relationship. There were always morning performances, especially with IFCC.
Mm-hmm.
So those dollars are gone now. So, I think it's impacting the young people immensely. They're having to go to different venues. I mean, they can't necessarily get that training ground in the schools, but there are other resources that they can do. And that's what's interesting about being an actor, is because they're going to get a chance to do what we've always done. We've always strategically come up with ways to do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've always, I've always done theater. Mm-hmm. I've always had an opportunity to do it. Mm-hmm. And if I can't have that relationship with the school districts, mm-hmm. per se, then how else, then I have to come up with other ways. How do I go about doing that? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
That means sometimes doing it for free.
We all have and to do that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't know any actor, mm-hmm. Pretty much in Portland that hasn't done something, mm-hmm. For free.
Right.
And we do it because we love it. We can't think of anything else we would rather be doing, mm-hmm. to feed our souls.
And as far as a community issue, it is in many ways the part of theater artists to help train the storytellers of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And whether we think of it as such or not, there is a need in every culture for the person who puts together all of the stories of the time and passes them along,
mm-hmm.
whether it's to school friends or family or et cetera, mm-hmm. to keep the conversations going about the issues that are important to our society.
Right.
And acting is one of the ways in which those storytellers work their work and that's the way they tell their stories.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty important for us to make sure that that ability goes on.
Well, we're going to go to the phone lines because we have a caller. And if you want to join us in this conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187. We're talking to members of PassinArt about A Sunbeam, as well as with Danette Burchill of the Abel Gordley Center for Healing, which is participating in a unique way in this production. And let's go to the line where we have Jeff.
Dave, you just gave it away again. It's the Abel Gordley Center for Good Health that is going to be involved.
I'm checking your listening comprehension skills.
That's right. And saying, how many times can we repeat it before you pick up the phone and call us and tell us what it is?
And thanks so much. And by the way, Abel Gordley's son, Tyrone, has been featured before in various issues and is right out there with mental health issues and is really, as a neighbor of mine here in North Portland,
mm.
and I admire his efforts and his mother's efforts so very much. And I wanted to say also, I believe Due North is now showing at the IFCC, the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center there at Willamette Boulevard and Interstate, with the all of the North, Northeast local artists, many of whom just do not sell. They create, produce, and so forth, but they're not professionals, but they're neighborhood folks, and it's extremely multicultural. It's always fun. It's their annual Due North, D-O, North at IFCC. And I guess I should...
Is that a commercial? Is that what you're trying to do here, Jeff?
Yeah.
Not so subtly.
It's a great place for the community to get together.
I think that's a great point.
Together. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I'll check in later for my ticket. I'm so excited.
Well, right. Excellent. Well, thank you for the call. Have a fabulous day.
Okay. And again, if you want to join in and get one of the five remaining tickets, mm-hmm. that are available, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And we're asking you to provide the name of the social service.
No, we already did that one.
We did.
Well, yeah, we can't do that one
again. Well, I'm waiting for Joanne to come up with a second question.
So if people had been paying attention, they would know when opening day of this play is. And so we'd like to know when it starts and when it will conclude.
Ooh, okay. There we go. So 503-231-8187 if you want to join us in the conversation and if you want a shot at one of five remaining tickets to A Sunbeam.
And I know Dave won't give that one away again.
I will try to avoid it. Yes, I'm bad about that. Danette, one of the things Trish was just talking about was that theater's, you know, developing storytellers in our community, it's all about communication. And I assume that, you know, that's not always something that's talked about within circles within your profession in terms of thinking of theater that way, but it really does in a way make sense. I mean, most people probably wouldn't have that come to mind, would they?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're okay.
You're fine.
Okay, I can't hear myself anymore. So. I was thinking about the interface between theater, drama, acting, and mental health and therapy, because there are actually some forms of therapy considered psychodrama where the theater process and the acting process is used therapeutically and in a way of achieving a catharsis or a new understanding about the issues that someone is experiencing.
We don't necessarily conduct psychodrama within our center. We're more of a cognitive behavioral approach around looking at thoughts, feelings, and behaviors and our choices. And that's not the only approach that we use within the clinic, but there is a process of communication and catharsis that comes out with theater that can be very therapeutic, both for the audience and for the actors, I would imagine. So I think there is a natural interface of that communication. Mm-hmm. A part of the conversation we were having as a group before we went on air is the idea of being at live theater, the three dimensionality of being in the presence of people acting through a story and acting out the emotions right in front of you, and how different that is from viewing something on television or in a movie, where there is a distance, where it's more two-dimensional. Mm-hmm. And how you can actually feel emotions coming from the actors, right. And how powerful that is and how cathartic that can be, what a release that can be emotionally for the audience. So I think that community theater is a very personal and emotional experience that can be quite therapeutic for mental health.
And Trish, I mean, before we came on the air, you were in fact talking about your own, you know, observations and experiences of not only being personally drained from performing in a piece that's very mm-hmm. emotionally fraught, but then looking out and seeing in the audience, basically.
Absolutely. There can be tremendously powerful identification on the part of the audience members with the people who are telling the story on the stage. I've been involved in a production before that dealt with a very emotionally charged issue, and that was the first time that we realized that there could be a real benefit from having someone there to help guide audience members through the most immediate storm of their emotions because of the subjects that were being discussed. So we're looking forward to having the talkbacks happening after several of these performances so that audience members and members of the professional community and from the Avril Gordley Center to be able to discuss some of these issues and have a sounding board mm-hmm. in a safe area, a safe mm-hmm. creative space where right. they can talk about their reactions to the play and ways in which that's affected them.
Wonderful.
No, we're going to ask folks, though, if they want to join the conversation, give us a call at 503-231-817. And now Richard raises his hand. Okay, we are going to go back to the phone lines. And we're obviously going to talk to a live person instead of a beeping noise. But if you want to join us in the conversation, give us a call at 503-231-817. We're talking with the members of Passanart about the production of A Sunbeam, as well as with Danette Burchill of the Avail Gordley Center for Healing about the sort of unique alliance going on around this production. So let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air.
Are you talking to me?
Yes,
I
we
am
are.
Talking to you. You're on the air.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Yes. Well, I was just calling to inquire of Mr. Dembo how hard it was to play a mentally challenged person.
Actually, it's really difficult because there's a fine line of not coming off as a caricature of how do I embody him without playing him how I think he should be played. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, in Saul's world, this is quite normal to him. He lives this life every day. Mm-hmm. And so that's the message that I have to get across to the audience, mm-hmm. that I have to be Saul. I can't act like I'm thinking like Saul would think. It's like, I have to be Saul. So, and I think the interesting thing about this production that I didn't have last time is that it's hitting very close to home now, mm-hmm. because I have a nephew mm-hmm. that's autistic. So now I have an identification. So there are resources for me to draw on. Mm-hmm. But he's a wonderful character to play, too. And that's getting back to how art really works in therapy, because there's a part in the show there they're talking about how speech that he they're using music and things that deals with the arts that soothes him, mm-hmm. and that really, really, really is important.
Mm-hmm. It's allowed him to become better able to communicate with other people, and I think that Ken really does a wonderful job of finding that fine line between looking as if we're in some way making fun of the character, mm-hmm. and nevertheless trying to
do that.
Right, and we want to make him be an accurate representation. One of the things that I think is very common with some categories of developmental disability is that these people have a tremendous, simple, childlike ability to look at the good things in life,
right. mm-hmm.
and to utterly embrace a sense of joy and discovery in everything that they do.
Right.
And Ken's really done a fabulous job of doing that, so that when I'm sitting observing the rehearsal, it's difficult for me not to burst out in laughter, mm-hmm. because he's just such a joyous person. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there are lots of times in the production where humor is used as a way to diffuse tension,
right.
or to try and examine a sensitive subject in a way that serious discussion can't do. So we don't want to leave the impression that this is one of those really serious
right.
productions. Yeah. Now, there's a lot of laughs in this play as well.
Okay, well, thank you, caller. And I gather,
thank
caller, you.
You
didn't want to try to answer the question to get a free ticket?
I already told him it's April 3rd to 25th.
Oh, okay. Well, great.
All right. We got another one. Excellent.
Two down, four to go.
That's right.
Well, and by the way, we did get a note from Richard saying someone had called in saying, how do they pick up their tickets? And am I correct, Jerry, in saying that they will be at Will Call at IFCC, so they just need to go down on the day of the performance? Is that?
That is correct. For those who won their tickets, that is correct.
Do they need to call in advance or?
And pick a date?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. And they'll come through Cable Radio,
okay.
you guys' show.
All right.
And you let us know who they are and give us that information, and it'll be waiting for them when they come.
All
okay.
right.
And for those who want to pick up tickets for the show anyway, you can go online to boxofficetickets.com. Or you can go to Pass and Art and click on tickets, and it'll take you there. And there are advanced ticket prices there. So there are some discounts that are available online for you. And you can also go to Reflections Coffee and Talking Drum Bookstore to pick up your tickets, too.
And we should say, you know, the general admission on this is incredibly reasonable.
Right.
I mean, compared to many theaters' productions, $20 is really quite remarkably low. It's a great value. We're going to go back to the phone lines in just a second here, but before we do that, we're going to let you know what's coming up this morning on KBOO. At 9, it's Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, the guest is economist Ravi Batra, talking about the future and the economic meltdown. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, journalist John Ross discusses the hype about the drug trade in Mexico, and Malik Rahim discusses the violence of poverty in the U.S., At 11, on Between the Covers, writer Ian Lee discusses her first novel, The Vagrants. And at 11:30, Karen Coulter of the Blue Mountain Biodiversity Project talks about saving trees in eastern Oregon. All that and more coming up on KBOO, so
you
don't
zoom
touch
through that list.
Well, I was trying to get through so that
you could
we could say goodbye to Danette, who has another meeting to get to, but
right.
unfortunately she slipped out while I was yammering on.
But, you know, Dave, I wanted to go back to something you talked about earlier, which was asking about just how do kids get interested in the arts. I mean, and quite frankly, all the creative fields, we seem to have, as a community, just kind of disconnected kids from it. Like, they have to find it on their own. When I was a kid, you know, they would take classes to the theater, you know. There would be Sunday matinees that would be just about, you know, high school kids or middle school kids being able to go and experience the theater. The same with music and live music acts and performers.
Right.
And today we've just kind of, if you can afford to be involved in the arts, then you are. We need to fix that. So how do we fix that? How do we get more kids exposed to the arts? Because I agree. I mean, this is otherwise we would end up not having the kind of diversity in the arts and music and all the creative fields. Because if you're not exposed to it, it doesn't just happen.
And that's a really relevant point. In the actor part of my life in the arts, it's incredibly challenging and difficult sometimes to be able to find mm-hmm. cast members for a play
right.
or actors to work in a film who are in any of the multicultural, ethnic right. Sort of categories right. because it's not an inherent part of their upbringing
That's right.
to participate in live arts of this kind.
Right.
So we think it's really important that if every parent or significant older person could mm-hmm. take their younger nephew or right. grandson or whatever to see a live play. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of theater companies in town who specifically do children's theater.
Mm-hmm.
So the productions are more accessible and yeah. more sort of lighthearted and right. easier for young kids to identify with.
Mm-hmm.
Both Oregon Children's Theater and Northwest Children's Theater have wonderful childhood training programs.
Right.
And there are lots of opportunities there and in other theaters around town when kids get into their teens mm-hmm. to do volunteer work,
right.
to taste what it's like to work in a theater mm-hmm. without the responsibility of having it for a paid job.
That's right.
And to figure out if that's something that they're interested in pursuing.
Mm.
We really encourage the activity and the participation of young theatergoers in order mm-hmm. to be able to see if that's a lifestyle that they could tolerate,
because
mm-hmm. it's never an easy one.
No.
But once you're bitten by the bug, it's pretty hard not to do.
Mm-hmm. But also, too, there are other aspects in theater that they can get involved in, like the technical lighting,
mm-hmm.
The sound, the backstage, the house management,
costume you know, design,
costume yeah. design, right. The stage hand, the right. stage help. One of the things that Passing Art has done is work with is have some student interns
mm-hmm.
that work on our productions,
right.
and they have actually gained some kind of knowledge into it because they're. Once you see the play,
right.
there's a lot of. Once you see the play, the job is pretty much over. But there's
right.
a lot of things that happen before that play
Long
is
before.
Put on.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
and a lot of people don't see that aspect
right.
of it, and so we give them an opportunity to go backstage and to look at that
behind it's the scenes.
Behind the
right.
scenes, and they'll say, "Well, I want to do this. I want to do lighting instead."
Right.
You know, instead of getting on stage.
Right, and
yeah.
I think I want to add to that also is parents really listen to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Really find out if they're tapping into that. And also, I would encourage you, as you're getting information with these different venues,
mm-hmm.
different organizations,
mm-hmm.
go beyond the box office.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to the artistic director.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to the directors or something like that and find out when the talkbacks are.
Mm-hmm.
And bring your kids to that
mm-hmm.
because that's their opportunity to speak to the actors,
right.
to speak to all of the individuals that were a part of that production and really get a feel for this is what it takes.
That's
so
right.
I would really encourage you to do that.
Well, we're going to go back to the phone line since we've had a caller waiting here for a few minutes. And if you want to join us in the conversation in the last 10 minutes we have here of talking with the members of Passing Art about their upcoming production of A Sunbeam, give us a call at 503-231-8187. So let's go to the phone lines. You're on the air, caller.
At the Center for Healing, is there anybody there that can answer a question?
I'm sorry, she's actually left.
She had to leave early, so you just missed her by a few minutes. But
we did get her phone number.
So let's give you that.
And that number is 503-418-5311.
Okay.
Some years back, I wanted to get involved in psychodrama as far as mental health issues are concerned. And because I guess I didn't belong to this therapist, one of her patients who I guess had good insurance and money, I couldn't be part of it. So you know what? Classism again. Here it is, classism. Nobody does anything about it.
Okay. Well, thank you for that observation.
Let's see. So another question before we, in our last 9 minutes that we have with you this morning would be, tell us, what production company is actually presenting A Sunbeam?
Oh, you're pitching them way too.
503-231-818. Well, I want them to be able to win, you know?
We want them to be able
we
to come.
We want them to come, right. So don't you dare give it away
again. I will stop talking. You're on your own for the...
So 503-231-8187 is the number to call. And what we want to know is a Sunbeam, as you know, is going to start on April 2nd, running through April 25th. April 2nd is Community Night, where community members who can't afford to have the regular ticket price will be able to see the production at a reduced rate. Opening night is on April 3rd. There will be talkback sessions with the Avell Gordley Center for Healing. And it sounds like this is going to be just a fabulous, fabulous event. It also sounds like that this is an issue. This play deals with issues that are family issues. So even though it's from an African-American perspective, I don't think anyone is assuming it's an African-American play. It's about families and how families interact with the issues that families are stressed with on the day-to-day basis. Was that an accurate assessment?
That's an accurate
assessment. Okay, I see all the hands going up and down. Cool.
Yes.
Also, too, to clarify, on the talkback sessions will happen April 13th and 25th after the 3 p.m. matinee.
Oh.
So that's on April 18th and April 25th, Saturday matinee, 3 p.m. matinee.
Okay, got it. All right. So that's important for folks to know. Yeah, because we've been telling them, just come and check out the talkbacks. Okay, so, and we will make sure to add that information to Voices from the
It'll
Edge
be on
website,
our, right.
So that listeners will be able to connect to your website to get that information.
Great.
I just want to say that I just think that this is pretty fabulous. I love the mission of Passing Arts. I think it's a fabulous, you have a fabulous focus, and you're really tapping into issues that, as you say, people just don't want to talk about in day-to-day life. But if we don't talk about them, then we never come to conclusions. We never actually solve these problems that really impacts people's quality of life in our community. So thank you so much. So can you give us a taste of what's coming next? And I know this one's about to start, but, you know, you
must
be excited.
Right. You're thinking about the next production, right?
Got me thinking about the next one, right. Wet their appetite.
Watch
go ahead.
Your newspapers. PassingArt.net.
So he has been sworn to secrecy and he's not going to tell us. I see those smiles. It's like, I know they know.
That's
they
right.
just don't want to tell us. All right.
We wanted an exclusive here.
It's all good. That's right.
Well, if that's an open invitation to come back, then you know, we
just,
will definitely.
I was
definitely
just
going
to say that just
yeah.
means we'll just have to bring it back and then you'll have to tell us again what's coming up. And I don't have any problem with that at all.
And you have to be at the studio again at 7:45.
Yeah.
So there is a bit of pain involved.
But you've been such wonderful guests that we really don't mind that unholy hour
yeah,
of the morning.
Right.
Joanne, I just wanted to pick up real quickly on what you were saying about this not being something that's specific to the African-American community.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a really interesting experience for me as a Caucasian to be able to step into this world and hear a lot of things about the perspective specifically of African Americans when it comes to issues of mental health.
Right.
And the differences are much greater than the similarities are much greater than the differences are. And it's a similarly risky decision to talk about things that are sensitive or taboo and to try and make the decision to look for help. In the play, the mother looks for help with several people that she knows, including the reverend of her church, but doesn't know or isn't able to reach out to professionals who might be able to help her in that regard. So that tenderness, that the frightening aspect of being able to reveal a sensitive, what you feel is a lack, which of course it isn't. We all have issues that we need to have someone help us out with through our lives. So please don't anybody think that this is an African, with big quotes, an African-American play. It does have African-American actors, but the issues are universal.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, and I was, when Danette was speaking earlier, and she was talking about just kind of some of the stigmas that's associated with seeking mental health treatment. I certainly agree that that's like it's kind of universal. But I, growing up African American, it's like I certainly can remember like kind of the terminology that people would use. Sister Ann is just she's a little slow, and it's okay, right? And it's like and as a kid, you think, what the heck are they talking about, right?
He moves as fast as anybody else.
She seems to be moving fine. And so it was just a whole lot of of code words for, yes. you know, we don't talk about that, right?
Nervous breakdown.
We don't want to, like, nervous uh-huh. breakdown, yeah, right? It's right. like, I know, and as a kid, you think, that how do you break down? How do somebody's nerves break down?
Right.
But yeah, there was all these code words for not actually confronting the fact that, you know, well, someone's having mental health issues and they need to be addressed. And so I think we've come a long way since that time period, but we still have a long, long way to go.
Sure, people still have feelings of guilt as if it's their fault.
Right, that's
mothers
right.
with their children,
that's
husbands
right.
with their wives,
that's right.
all of those kinds of situations. It's as if they could have done something
right.
to make it not happen.
Right, if I'd have done something different, if I'd mm-hmm. have cooked different food.
If I'd have watched more closely.
That's right, right. that's right. And the last point that I really want to make sure that we just reiterate again is that kids need to be exposed to the arts,
exactly.
right? And this is one venue, but we need to, as a community, make sure that we're exposing kids, because otherwise the next generation will lack the kind of artistic talent that this generation has enjoyed and taken for granted.
Mm-hmm. And volunteer. You know,
exactly.
you may not have the dollars to spend to go see a play, but mm-hmm. you volunteer, there are some trade-offs.
That's right.
So those opportunities are always available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just contact your local arts group
mm-hmm.
And inquire about what it would take for you to become a part of that.
Sure, and there are volunteer usher positions at most of the theaters in town where you can get to see the show
right.
at no charge
right.
if you come and help, you know, show people where their seats are.
And we're always looking for volunteers. So,
absolutely.
You know,
wonderful.
Always.
We couldn't function without them.
That's correct.
Well, we want to thank Trish Egan, Jerry Foster, and Kenneth Dembo, who are with the Pass and Art Production Theater Company. They're going to be putting on A Sunbeam April 2nd through April 25th at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. And I think we've mentioned a number of times that if you're interested in finding out more about the performances, you can go to passandart.com. We'll also be putting all of the material on our website, kboo.fm/voicesfromtheedge, so you can get it there as well. We also want to thank Danette Burchill, who had to leave a little early. She was the Clinical Associate Director of OHSU's Abel Gordley Center for Healing. And for those of you, we still have a few free tickets left. If you call into the KBOO main desk and answer the question, there's three free tickets left, and that'll be a ticket at will call, and you'll be able to go see the production, and it's going to be well worth it. And one more thing we need to add is coming April 11th, Joanne and I will be interviewing live at the Baghdad Theater Amy Goodman of Democracy Now!, who's going to be in town to promote her new edition of Standing Up to the Madness, Ordinary Heroes in Extraordinary Times. You can go to the KBOO website to find out more about that or give us a call here at the station. It will be, I'm sure, a lively conversation with someone that we all value greatly here, as you all know. So,
and, of course, it's a fundraiser for KBOO.
Well,
and so that's a very cool thing.
I was going to shake them down once they got there.
Oh, it's one of those don't ask, don't tell kind of things.
So, I'm Dave Mazza.
I'm Joanne Bowman.
And you've been listening to Voices from the Edge.
See you next week.
I know.
Get up.